ahead and turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. You know, if think about if the Lord was going to come and visit one of us, say he's going to come to your house. Maybe he said, you know, I want to come. And, Brother Brad, I want to borrow your boat. And if that's the case, then before he got there, Brother Mike, I would want my boat to be in pristine running order. I would want it to be clean, vacuumed, oil, just anything I could do to make it an enjoyable experience. And certainly if he's going to use it, I don't want anything to go wrong. I want it to be absolute perfect when he gets here. Or if he say, I want to borrow your tractor, I want to borrow your lawnmower, whatever the case may be. You know, we would all be that way. I don't want him to come and it be, you know, half full of gas. I want it to be full of gas. I want it to be took care of perfectly. So when you think of the Lord saving us, and he said that you're going to be my vessel, I'm going to use you. Don't you think we should want to do the same with ourselves? If he's going to use me, then I want to be in pristine running order. I want everything to be just right. I don't want anything to be lacking. I don't want to break down along the way. I want to be, you know, in good shape that if the Lord is going to use me, I want everything to go just right. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, I don't know who was in charge of the wedding at the start. We know it seems like Mary kind of takes charge. And a lot of times that's what happens whenever someone is ill prepared. They just kind of panic and, you know, so someone steps up with a little bit of sense and says, let me handle this. And they begin to try to do everything they can to fix the situation. We don't know who was in charge of the wedding at the start, but someone prepared very poorly. You know, the wine, and I know we can get caught up, it uses the word drunk here, but it's talking about drinking it all up. You say, well, it was alcoholic wine or not. I'm not even going to touch all that because I don't know that you can take and prove one way or the other. I know the Bible tells us to stay away from it. So that's what I believe. But as far as trying to prove one way or the other, I'm not going to do that. I do know this. It was very common to have something besides water on hand, especially for a celebration. Whenever you have a wedding, people go all out. When you have a wedding, that's a celebration. That's a festival. Especially in this day. It went on for a good long time, not just a few hours. It went on for a week at a time, maybe. And so they just made a big festival of a wedding. And so there was a need for wine. And this is very common in that day. You didn't have weddings without having wine. And so there was a need for wine. But Mary comes and says, there is no wine. We don't have any. There's no wine. And Jesus, you know, she goes and she tells the Lord this. She tells Jesus, there's no wine. And she turns to these servants and she just said, whatever he says to you, just do it. You know, whatever he says, just do it. Now, there's water pots. There's more than one. There's six water pots here. And according to what I've studied about how much this might have held, you don't get a very accurate number, but six of these pots held at least 54 gallons. It might have held up to 120 gallons. So when they said they had a need for wine, they needed a lot of it. They needed, you know, about 50 to 100, 120 gallons of wine. And so, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask for. But Mary, she says, whatever he says, just do it. Mary knows where her help would come from. You know, Bible tells us the same thing. Vain is the help of man. Our help comes from the Lord. So whenever we need help, that's the first place we ought to go to, not the last place. A lot of times that's what we do. We worry and we fret and we try to figure everything out. And we go to everybody we can to try to fix a problem. And when there's no hope left, then God, please help me now. He should be the first one we go to. Well, all we can do now is pray. That term is used in so much, and that sounds defeated when we say it. Well, all we can do now is pray. Well, you're defeated when you say that. If you're going to pray, ask in faith, nothing wavering. We don't need to come with a defeated attitude when we're asking the Lord. She comes to him and she says, whatever he says, do, just do it. Because she knows where her help is going to come from. I believe she come to believe this is not just Jesus, my son. I believe she understood this is Jesus, my Lord. I believe she understood this is the Son of God. And so whatever he says, that's what you need to do. It'll be in your best interest if you just do whatever he says. So just do it. Well, the servants are here, and you know, just like any servant, it's always said it's hard to find good help. Apparently, they had some good help. And the reason I say that is because none of them makes a mistake. None of them says, why you want water in the pots? Well, Mike, that's about how a lot of help would do today. You say, you being, you know, over them and say, I want you to fill it with water. I said, well, why do you want water in it? It don't matter. I said put water in it. That's why. If I want to pour it out, just put water in it. And so they don't ask that. He said, you fill these pots up. And we're talking 50 to 120 gallons. Fill it up. They didn't say, why so much? Wonder how many times they had to run to the well. Get a bucket, come back and pour that. Run back. I don't know how many servants they were. But they went and they'd get a bucket of water and bring it and put it in the pot and come back and put more in it. Fill it up, and they fill it to the brim. They didn't say, why so much? And they didn't get halfway into it saying, yeah. He said, fill it up. This looks like it's plenty. They didn't look and say, well, who put you in charge? Again, I don't know how much authority Mary had here, but she just turns to the servants. Whatever he says, you do it. Well, who put you in charge? Even if she was in charge, I know many times people don't respect authority. So they could have said, well, who put you in charge? I'm not put water in the pot. They said, why? Why should we listen to you? They didn't say none of this. Jesus said, fill the pots. They filled the pots. They filled the pots to the brim. They didn't fill it halfway. They didn't fill it three quarters of the way. They filled it to the brim. And so Jesus is about to work. And these servants, I don't know how much they knew about him, but they were willing to do exactly what he said. Maybe they felt like we're about to see, you know, something spectacular. I don't know what was going on in their mind, but we do know. He said, fill it. And since we're the servants, we're just going to fill it. We're going to do our job. And we're going to do our job to the best of our ability. To the best of our ability, we're going to fill this up. We're not going to shortchange his command in any kind of way. Again, I don't know how many trips they had to make to the well or how exhausting the job. I'm not going to try to build that up. We just know that they had to fill up, you know, many gallons of water. But don't you look at this and you say, well, if you're going to fill it right. If you're going to fill the pot, fill it up. He says, fill it up. Let's fill it all the way to the top, to the brim, till you can put no more water in it, because that's what he said. And why is it a lot of times whenever God wants us to do something, we we lack zeal. We don't do to the best of our ability what God says. Maybe we put 100% into our job or into 100% into studying for a test or, you know, all these other things. But when God wants us to do something, why is it that we, you know, we kind of drag a little bit? Just kind of hit and miss. Bible says if you're gonna walk, if somebody asks you to walk a mile, walk two. In other words, if somebody asks you to help them, God said to the best of your ability, you help them. You go above and beyond because they have asked you for help, and so you go beyond what they have asked you to do. Lord said, if you're gonna make a sacrifice unto me, he said, don't bring me to lame. Don't bring me to sick. Don't bring me to blind. Don't bring me to spotted. If you're going to even bring me something, he said, you bring the best that you have. Without spot, without blemish, you bring the best that you have. Don't try to shortchange the Lord. I know I've mentioned this several times, especially in our study on being a good steward of the Lord, but whenever the Lord stooped down and washed feet, washed the disciples' feet, he said, I'm your Lord and Savior, and I've washed your feet. You ought to wash others' feet. And I know, Brother Jake, we have a service like that once a year where we come in as a church, and we do that, and it is a very humbling service, and it's a reminder that the Lord wants us to be a servant to all. And yet, if we're going to do it, we ought to do it every day. I'm not talking about the service. I'm talking about the attitude of a servant. 100%. All the way. If you're going to wash feet like Jesus did, do it every day, because it's used to show the world something special. See, these servants, they were committed to do exactly what the Lord commanded them to do. All they could do was fill it up with water. But that's all he asked. He didn't say fill it up with wine. He said, you just fill the pots all the way with water. So all they had to do, just fill it all the way with water. And so, you know, after they did all that they could do, which really is not that much, take a pot of water and put it into another pot. Take a bucket, pour it into the pot, and keep doing it till you fill up. That's not a lot. But that's all they could do, because that's all they were commanded to do. And whenever they got through, Jesus made the magic happen. Jesus made the water into wine. He used their best. And it was his first miracle in the public eye. First of his miracles. Wouldn't you like to have been a part of that? Wouldn't you like to have been a servant that be able to say, you know what, whenever he turned that water to wine, I just wanted off the water. And somebody says, what kind of water was that? Was that special water? No, it's just water. What do you mean just water? How can you make water into wine? All I know is I went to the same well we always go to, and I put water into that pot, and whenever I got through, I served it to the governor, and when he drank it, it was wine. Wow. There has to be more to it than that. You know, people say that about salvation when you tell them, I got saved. What do you do? I believed in Jesus Christ. There's got to be more to it than that. That's all.
I did what he said to the best of my ability. I did what he said. I surrendered and I just trusted in Jesus and he saved my soul. Says, that's crazy. It is. I agree. But it worked. You remember Elisha? Seemingly on his deathbed, he got a visit from Joash, I believe it was. King Joash. Just before Joash died. Joash comes in and he pays a visit to Elisha. And seemed like Elisha's on his deathbed at least. You know, Joash comes in and he's just crying his eyes out, weeping. The very horseman, the chariot of Israel, you're the one that has won all the battles for us. And he's just really paying him some high compliments. And he's there, Brother Ryan, and he's there to pay his respects. That's why he's there. And all of a sudden, Elisha, he starts preaching to him. And I don't believe that's really what he come for. He wasn't there to get another message. He was there to pay his respects because this man is highly praised. He is the horseman of Israel. And Elisha says, grab that bow and those arrows, bring it over here. Okay. And he grabs it and he says, take that bow and aim it out the window. And Elisha, with these old feeble hands, he comes up, when he draws this bow back, Elisha comes and he puts his hands on his hands. And we're talking about this, man, a king full of life, and he's ready to just let that arrow fly, and all of a sudden these old feeble hands come over top of him. Wouldn't you say, I can shoot this bow? You wouldn't have done that out of respect, but you've probably been thinking it. What in the world is this old man doing? Trying to help me shoot this bow. He says, all right, take them arrows. And I want you to beat them on the ground. And still, Brother Joey, he's not in this. He could care less what he's saying. He's here to pay his respects, and the man is going to pass on, and he's going to go on being king. So he just kind of half-heartedly, he just hits him on the ground three times, I believe it was, three times. And Elisha, he just seemed like come unglued. He said, you should have smote him on the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated your enemy. He said, now you're just going to beat him three times. You're not going to completely wipe them out. You're not going to completely push them back, and that'll be a thorn in your side down the road. You should have been paying attention. But his heart was not in it because I'm here for a reason, and I don't want to hear this message. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm here to pay my respects. And so there he is. He's weeping and crying. And Elisha's letting him, you need to dry it up. I've got something to tell you. I'm not here to hear. Half-heartedly. And it prevented Joash from smiting his enemy fully. Now, when the Lord directs our heart, simple message tonight and devotion, whatever you want to call it, but can I encourage you to put your whole heart into whatever it is that God directs your heart to do? Whatever it is. I hear those that say, the Lord's been dealing with my heart to do something. Well, what's the hold of it? It's been on my heart to do this. If God puts something on our heart, let's do it. With all our heart. Not just half-heartedly do it. You know, I love Doritos, especially one certain kind. What is that purplish colored bag and bold, spicy, chili kind? Chili Doritos. You pop them things open and that smell. And that's all that's in the bag, the smell. It's about three quarter full of air. Got a little bit, just a few chips in the bottom. That aggravates me. Man, that aggravates me. Why is it not all the way full? They sold me a few chips and a bag full of air. And I'm crazy enough to get it. Fill it up. All the way. There is tremendous potential when we are willing to give the Lord everything. When I'm willing to fill the pot all the way full, all the way to the brim. He said, fill it up, I'm going to fill it all the way to the brim. All the way. Tremendous potential whenever I'm willing to just surrender. Here I am. Lord, here I am. Send me. I may not be much, but I'm willing to give you everything I have. Here I am. Don't leave anything lacking. Be the boy that gives all the fish and all the bread when everybody else has forgotten everything. Or nobody else is willing to share their lunch. Because it's hard for me to believe 5,000 people went and didn't think about eating. It's obvious they were not Baptists yet. Don't leave anything lacking. Watch Jesus take that little bit that you have and feed the 5,000 with it. And it's, how did that happen? I don't understand how it happened. I don't know how the Lord did that, except He's the Lord. And He can. Be the shepherd boy that picks up 5 stones. You ever wonder why he picked up 5 stones? I know it's been discussed probably since the beginning of time, just about. I like to think Goliath had brothers. So I'm going to walk out there and the Lord's going to help me take this giant down. And then if his brothers come out, I'm going to take them too. I don't know if that's the case. But I tell you what, when he was staring down Goliath, he had all confidence that whenever I throw a stone, it's going to hit him. And then I'm going to feed him to the buzzards. I'm going to cut off his head with his own sword. Be the little widow woman that sacrifices the cake because you trust God is about to do something spectacular. She kind of questioned at first, didn't she? I don't even have a cake. I got a little meal, a little oil on the cruise, and I was going to make me and my son a little cake, and we were going to eat it and die. He said, make me one first. Boy, that would be tough. Man, that would be tough. It's so tough when the Lord puts us in them kind of situations. I got to give up my little cake. That's all I have. Yep. Go ahead and give that up. And then watch me bless. Just to be say, okay, here it is. Take it. Go ahead and take it, and I'm just going to stand back and watch you do something wonderful. If you're here and you're lost, I wish I could encourage you. I pray I can encourage you to be that sinner that surrenders your all and trust Him to fully save you to the uttermost. Because He can. Not because it makes sense. Not because you have a lot to bring to the table. Maybe all you have is water to put in a pot. But it was enough. All He's asked you to do is fully trust Him and let Him fix it. If you're lost, if you would do that, He would save you right here and right now. Ask for something.